I want to talk to you today about something that I think we all need to be aware of, especially in this time frame of history. It's God's persistence versus the devil's persistence. Yeah, it's a little rough. Because we have to look at our enemy and we have to realize what he's doing. But we get to look at God and see what he is accomplishing too. So last week, I challenged you with what you would do with what Jesus has done for you. And we have these bracelets, and if you didn't get yours, you can have one after the service. But of course it says WWJD, what's it stand for? What would Jesus do? And if you flip it around, what does it say? What will I do? WWID. And so we discovered that it's more than a bracelet. It's a prophetic declaration. That this is the time that God is telling us that it is, that we have to activate as the church. And so how many this week would say that you responded differently to God and took action? Yes, good. Good. Okay, not everybody, but some people. So Susie Alter and Frank Great made me very, very happy. I got a report from them. They had gone to a market where they sell fruits and vegetables and stuff like that, but they didn't go there just to buy fruits and vegetables, although I'm sure you did, because it's good stuff. But they went there with the purpose of obeying what would I do with what Jesus did. And how many souls got saved? 4 souls gave their hearts to God. Oh yeah, that deserves a great hand clap. Okay, so you see, when you are focused on what God is releasing, and God is releasing this in the body of Christ, you get out of your comfort zone and you accomplish what God has called us to do. This is about eternity, folks. This is about eternity. It's the only thing we can take to heaven with us is souls. And so, but we want to be on the winning side. Amen? And so I want to make it everything a little bit more real to you today by teaching you some eternal truths about God's persistence versus the devil's persistence. So the first thing we have to look at is, what are the enemy's tactics? How can we win if we don't know who our enemy is? Amen. So when somebody is going into any kind of battle, if they know how the enemy is going to come against them, they have the advantage because they can work around it and they can hear and make their own plan of attack that can invade against what the enemy is trying to do. And I'm telling you right now, church, we're in a war. And so if you are in a war, we can look at the Word of God. He will clearly tell us who the enemy is, and he will also clearly tell us how to win. So I said, well, Lord, why is this seemingly such a difficult season for the church to be in? I mean, we hear all these glorious words. We have lots of prophecies that we can war with. People are prophesying that the good news is about ready to appear, that there is going to be another great revival. And how many of you agree with that? Okay. But how many of you know that we can't have an overall revival until we have a personal revival? And we can't have a personal revival if all we do is survive instead of thrive. And so I said, Lord, what is going on? And he said, my people are perishing because they don't recognize the seriousness of the times that they are living with or who their enemy is. And so he said, it's serious. And I told you last week when I preached that it was a sobering in your face kind of message, but it's one of the most important messages that I have given, because you know me. I love to love you. I love to be ooey and gooey and be in the presence of the Lord, and I can just lead you there, and we can just sit in his presence, and that's my favorite thing to do. But you see, we live in serious times, and I am feeling the seriousness of where we're living and why we have to go forward knowing who our enemy is. Serious means it's a sobering time. It's an important time. It's a time to not joke around. That's exactly the definition, no joking around. I feel a little bit like Esther right now. No silly people in the house. It's no joking around time. It's serious. We have to reevaluate what we are earnest about. We have to understand that our decisions make important and can be bringing forth dangerous consequences. It's serious. So the devil's attack is persistent. How many of you have been under attack by the devil? How many of you know it's like unrelenting? I have never seen anything like it right now. If it's not one thing, it's another. When you win one battle, it's like you get hit with the next one. And even sometimes before that one's over, there's another one. And so it's persistent because the devil's attack is persistent because he wears down your resistance to affect your ability to stand for anything. He doesn't want you to stand. He doesn't want you to move forward. He doesn't want you to win. He lies to you. He reminds you of your bad choices even after he gets you to do them. Hello? He gives you horrible memory. All of a sudden you have great memory, except for all your memory is about all the wrong things. You forget the good things of the Lord. You're just concentrated on the bad things because you know what he's doing? He's relentless in his pursuit of you. He is persistent in his attack. He creates chaos all around. There's chaos all around. I mean, all of this ridiculousness that we're facing in the world, it's chaos. And he has brought it to knock us all off our feet. He's brought to shut us up, to get us in isolation, to take us down. But it's not going to win. Satan enters into the heart of godless people so that he can oppress the minds and the hearts of those that are trying to do good. But if they don't realize what's going on, they don't fight against him in the spiritual realm. And you see, this is a spiritual battle. You get totally worn out if you try to fight against a spiritual battle in the natural. How many of you know that? How many of you tried that? Okay, we tried that, didn't we? How'd that work out for us? It didn't. Okay, Ephesians clearly says in 6:12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So who is the real enemy? People? Satan. So we need to fight the devil. And he can appear working through someone, but that person is not the real enemy. What is working through them is the real enemy. So we have to quit hating. In the name of Jesus. Because when we enter and open the door for even a little bit of siding with hatred, do you know that you just opened the enemy for the door to do other things against you? You understand he is persistent in his pursuit to take you down. And if he can get you to hate someone, then he is winning a little bit of the battle. And that battle will just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You can't hate. Christians have to be people of love. We can't afford to hate anybody, no matter what their actions are. And so marriages right now are being attacked. Families are being attacked. Bodies are being attacked. Minds are being attacked. Why? Because we have an enemy. And he is trying to convince you. He is trying to convince you. Yes, I growled right there. When I get very adamant against the enemy, sometimes I just growl. It must be the Lion of Judah showing up. He is trying to convince you that you're not going to face anything except hard hardship in this life, and you're going to continue always in the battle. You know why? Because the devil is persistent. But the thief comes, now listen to where I put the emphasis on this. We know this scripture so well. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Now I want you to hear it this way. The thief only comes. Do you hear me? He's only coming to kill you. He is only coming to steal from you. He is only coming to be a thief. And he is going to show up in those attributes in your life. Guaranteed, because the Bible says so. So he's been sinning. He has been sinning because he rebelled against God. And now he wants his attributes to be your attributes. If you don't know him, how can you defend yourself against him? So how can you win against an unknown enemy? So let's find out about him. So Satan was created as one of the hosts of angelic beings. He was amazing. He was beautiful. He was the captain of the cherubic hosts. He came to be prideful. He began to be vain about his beauty and his position. And his heart let rebellion enter. Isaiah 14:12, the Living Bible. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, Satan, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground? Mighty through you were against the nations of the world. You said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven and rule the angels. I will take the highest throne. I will preside on the mount of assembly far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heavens, and I will be like the Most High. You see, we think rebellion is something different than it is. Whenever you have something in your heart that you serve that makes you rebel against the authority and the position of God, then you become a servant of Satan. This is what caused him to fail. Look how beautiful he was. Ezekiel 28. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Your clothing was bejeweled. I mean, I like that. Precious in every stone, ruby, topaz, diamond, chrysolite, onyx, jasper, sapphire, carbuncle, emerald. All of the beautiful settings, the finest gold, they were given to you on the day you were created. God appointed. He said, I appointed you to be an anointed guardian angel. You had access to the holy mountain of God. You walked among the stones of fire. Doesn't it sound like the Avenger movie? It sounds like the Avengers before evil entered into the atmosphere. Here they are. They have supernatural powers. But then this creature appears of evil, and his intention is to destroy. He says he's going to make things better, but he's a liar. He came to kill. Okay, all of you people who don't watch the Avengers, I like the Avengers, but I like it because the Avengers win. Hello? Okay, so where do you think they got the idea for those movies? Anyway, so they look to the Word of God. So this area of the Word of God tells us this. Angels were created by God, and here's what they could choose. Rebellion. They could choose rebellion, just like we can choose rebellion. But you know what angels can't choose? Redemption. They can't choose redemption, but we can. Hallelujah. You see, when Satan was cast down, he brought chaos to the world. But guess what? God was persistent too. And here's what God was persistent in. He was first persistent in demanding purity and giving us a way to overcome the evil that the enemy brings. God describes Satan as the intended guardian angel, but then he says he was perfect until Ezekiel 28:17, until his heart was filled with pride because of all of his beauty, and you were corrupted in your wisdom for the sake of your own splendor. Therefore, I have cast you down to the ground and exposed you helpless before the curious gaze of kings. Most scholars agree that this is exactly what happened between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. In Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Does God create chaos or void? But look at verse 2. "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the word tells us that Satan fell like lightning to the earth. So the earth was there, and the earth was created before he fell. And then when he fell, he was the one who brought chaos and darkness. So now God moves upon the earth, and he begins to put back in place what the enemy had messed up. So God does what he needs to do, and he is persistent in taking care of his creation, which is me and you. Amen? So all of creation, including you, including me, was formed by him. Isaiah 45:18. "For thus says the Lord who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it." He made it, he established it, he established us. He created the world, and he created the inhabitants, and he didn't do it in vain. People can choose sin. Can you choose to sin? Yeah, you can, unfortunately. But, and many have. And unfortunately, many have, and they call themselves Christians. The Bible even tells us so. They're living a lie. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 11:12, "What I do, I will continue to do." He's like, I'm fixed. I am going to keep pressing on if it seems impossible to press on. No matter what other people choose, I'm going to keep choosing obeying God. You know, when we were in worship today, I'm like, geez, Lord. You know, sometimes it can be challenging. Just serving you can be challenging. And I looked down and there was sparkles on the floor. And then I look over right now and there's a sparkle on that chair. And I'm like, yeah, but when you ask me, do you love me? And I said, yes. And he said, feed my sheep. And I said, yes. It was a determination from which I will never turn away from. Because he was persistent in his pursuit after my love, after my commitment to him, and I responded with an absolute, yes, I will serve you. Yes, I will do what you ask me to do. Amen? Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians 11:12. What happens if others say they are Christians, but they don't act like it? I keep telling you, if I run a video of your life this past week, we'll find out. Anybody want to offer up their video of last week? Okay. What I do, I will continue to do. Paul made that decision. That I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. Pride. They are false apostles. False apostles. They're leading people. They're just leading them the wrong way. Deceitful workers. Oh, they might even be doing good works. They could be out in the world doing more than Christians do. They can look good, sound good. They might even smell good. But I'm just saying, they were not authentic in their hearts of serving God. Transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. They're saying they're apostles of Christ, but they're not. They're deceivers. They're not doing what God asked them to do. They're not behaving properly. They're choosing wrong. And he says, no wonder. Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. If Satan can make himself look good to you, if he can make the world look better to you than the kingdom of God, If he can make you think that serving him is going to benefit you more than serving God is going to benefit you, you too could become a false apostle. You too could become a deceitful worker with all of the works that you do. It could still be deception that you're operating in. It's time to wake up. It's serious business. It's serious business. We are in a fight against good and evil. And so you can't tell a book by its cover. People can appear to be loving. They can appear to be kind. But they can be living lifestyles that are against the word of God. If you're living by the devil, don't call yourself that you are of Christ. Just admit you're a child spawn of Satan. Anybody ever tell you that? Nobody wants to admit it, especially Christians. But you see, then Satan goes around seeking whom he may devour. That means he needs your permission to devour you. That means he's looking around and he's got a plan. And he's got his little demons ready. And they have studied your life. And they know what your weakness is. And then he comes and he will speak something into your ear. And he will try to confuse you. And you know what? You think it's your own thought. And you begin to agree with your own thoughts. You begin to think that it's about you. He begins to tell you that serving God is just a hardship. That it's so hard to serve God. I just might as well give in because I'm tired of the fight. He'll tell you that it's better on the other side. He'll say that God is trying to be a withholder. That's exactly what Satan said in Genesis. That he's withholding the things that you really want. When in fact, he's the one that is persistent in his lies. And you have to choose not to give in to him. Because if you give in to him, you are going to begin to do things you never thought you would be capable of. And then you know what happens? You begin to operate in shame. And then you know what shame brings? Shame brings your inability to think that you are good enough for God to reconcile with you. And then he has you trapped. It's serious. It's serious. So I said, Lord, what is he doing? What is really going on in the heavenly realm? We are fighting spiritual battles right now. And he dropped inside my spirit a word that I've heard, but I never looked up. I kind of had an idea of what it meant, but you know, I'm the dictionary prophet. He always does this. And so he gave me this word. It's subterfuge. So here's what it means. Deception by an artful skill. A trick in war for deceiving and outwitting an enemy. A trick in war for deceiving and outwitting an enemy. It means a cleverly contrived trick or scheme for gaining an end result. It is an order to conceal, escape, and evade. So the devil feels what the spiritual atmosphere is right now. He can tell that the atmosphere of the church is beginning to awaken. You see? This is not a negative message, people. God's coming in the next part. Okay, but I want you to know what you're up against. I want you to be serious about how important it is. You know why? Because people are dying. You don't know when the end of your life is. We have no guarantees how long we're going to be here. What we have a guarantee of is where we're going to go one way or the other. Amen? And so here he is. He and his army feels that the church is beginning to awaken. They can feel that people are beginning to get this message. He is aware that some people are just going, not today, Satan. You are under my feet and you're going to stay there. I don't care how many things you bring to my life. I don't care how much I have to go through. I have made my decision and I am not going to retreat. I am going to come after you and I am going to win because the Bible has given me the victory through Jesus Christ, my Lord. And so those people are beginning to arise. And there, like I told you last, there is this pressing upon Christians to do something. There is an activation going on in the body of Christ. There's an activation for us to get our lives right. There's an activation for us to be the witness that God has called us to be. There is something going on in the heavenly realm. And don't you know that he knows better than we do what's going on? Because he has seen this before. He has felt this before. He has seen what Jesus could do. He went around doing good. He went around healing all. He paid the price for salvation. And then all of a sudden, there was a bunch of people that went around acting just like him, talking just like him, doing miracles just like him. And he wondered, what in the world had he done? He had recreated a bunch of little people that could do what God told them to do. And he was afraid of every single one of them because every time they confronted him, they won. And that's what's happening. And so his army is gathered together and they're coming up with crafty ideas. They want you to cheat on God. If he can get you to just cheat on him. If he can get you to believe the fraudulence of his lies. If what you hear is affecting how you act, that's normal. But what are you listening to? Because whatever you hear is going to affect how you act. He is a deceiver, and so he has all kinds of deception prepared for you. He's come to cause chaos and to bring a void in your life. And here's what he's doing. It is such a trickery. It is such a perversion. It is such a twist. How many of you ever heard of Leviathan? Leviathan is this creature that is talked about in the Bible. And he is the father of all pride. And he twists words. He comes to twist and to turn and to cause things to seem right that aren't right. He makes people to hear. You might say something one way, but it comes in the ear of somebody else in another way. That is how he begins to deceive people. That is how he begins to turn the body of Christ into believing a lie about God, about each other. He's using this device. So he's come, and what he does is he tries to make you feel dissatisfied because God is trying to make you feel dissatisfied. Okay, so God's dissatisfaction, though, comes with redemption. God's dissatisfaction is to shake what can be shaken and to get you to decide, I am on the Lord's side and I'm going to do what he asked me to do and I am going to be an example of holiness. I'm going to be an example of goodness. I am going to be the person that has a word to deliver to somebody to get them out of darkness. I'm going to be the one that shows love. No matter what is going on in the world, I'm going to be the lover. I'm not going to be the hater. And so God is trying to make us feel unsatisfied. Well, I don't feel satisfied. Well, why aren't we doing this? And why aren't we doing that? And people start throwing stones at somebody else because they're counting on somebody else to do what they should be doing. What kind of twist is that? So Satan comes with his own twist. Satan comes and he invades every part of society. We've been saying this for years. We, the Christians, need to invade society. We need to be the ones that are speaking truth. We are the ones that need to shine. But society comes and convinces us little by little so that we are not horrified at that which we should be horrified at. Think about in the not too far past, what violence looked like on TV. If they had it, first of all, they didn't allow it on TV. It couldn't even be that violent. And if you wanted to go see it, you had to go see an X-rated movie. They don't even have X anymore, do they? They have R-rated movies, which are worse than X-rated movies, if you ask me. And so, little by little, we saw horror happen before our eyes. We saw people slaughter each other on TV. We saw all kinds of violence occur. Until now, we expect it in our movies. Here's what we didn't expect: it in our streets. But it's happening, isn't it? Because Satan is persistent in his pursuit. And he hasn't given up. And he won't give up until the day that it's over for him. And it will be. Or until the day that you decide to be persistent in your pursuit of God's ways, not just his heart. I love Jesus. I'm not questioning your I love Jesus statement. But he said, prove your faith by your works. And he ain't talking about you going out and just, you know, helping granny across the street. I mean, that's a good work. He's talking about your works. He's talking about how do you work your heart on the outside the same way that you work it on the inside. He's talking about how do you feel towards the Lord right now, and how does that appear on the outside to affect change in somebody else? I mean, how much are you in love with the Lord, or is he about equal with how much you love the world? I know, I hated writing the sermon. It's serious. We're in serious times. I have to bring you a serious message, or I'm not the pastor that you need. I'm not being authentic to being a prophet. I'm not telling you the truth if I don't tell you the truth. I'm trying to shake you up. I'm trying to cause you to be a little bit mad. But don't get mad at me. Get mad at the devil. He's the one that's trying to kill you. He's the one that's trying to steal from you. He's the one that's trying to destroy you. And you better get mad. Right, I have seen. Oh, I did it again. Do you remember when we saw people actually being beheaded on TV? Remember that? I know we see people being murdered in the streets of America. Murdered. I mean, it's not a black issue. It's not a white issue. It's not even a human issue. You understand? Satan has come to kill. You understand what we're up against here is a spiritual battle. If you start drawing lines, oh God help me. All lives matter to God. Get bad if you want to, but it's the truth. But beyond all lives, all souls matter to God. I love everybody. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves all the children of the world. I grew up on that. I lived that. I don't have a prejudice bone in my body. I love everybody the way that Jesus loves them, because he has given me the ability to do that. And he will give it to anybody who wants it. But when you start drawing lines, you let something enter inside where there becomes a dividing line and Satan goes, I've got him. You see all this nonsense happening in the political realm, all of this stuff going on in our streets, we start hating. We start siding with people. We start thinking we need to take a side. You know what side you need to take? You need to be on God's side. All of this other stuff, you better pray before you vote. I tell you that all the time. You better know what they stand for before you push that button. You better take a stand for what is righteous and what is right. And it's not about personalities. It's about what they're standing for. And Satan is trying to infiltrate us to try to divide. There is a great divide going on. But God is coming with unity. The only way he's going to win is through you. You either have to agree with God or you have to agree with Satan. There is no more little... Do you see how divided it is? I mean, it's like you're way over here or you're way over here and you can't even talk about it. Because if you even have a discussion, people hate you. What is that? Oh, I know, tactic of the enemy. Oh, I know, he's relentless. Oh, I know, he wants you to have to make a decision that divides you instead of brings you together. But today we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to stop him in his tracks. It's the same weapons he uses over and over again. The Lord said that the enemy was trying to weave into the very fabric of society the opposite of what he wanted to weave into us. Now, if I asked you, what does God try to weave on the inside of his people? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Love. When you think about what's going on in the world, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Right. So who's winning this battle so far? And how's it going to change? It's going to change by us. Okay, so now, let's look at God's persistence. Because he is amazing. Revelations 12:9-10 says, "So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. And he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." 1/3 of the angels agreed with Satan. "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God has been cast down.'" You see, our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his victory is ours even today. He has already equipped us. He is already counting on the church to arise. See, I just felt a shift in the atmosphere right there. As soon as you start talking about the goodness of God, the presence of God comes. As soon as you start giving your attention to what God is, who he is, what he's done, what he's provided, and who he is to you, then Jesus shows up and says, "You can be just like me. That's why I paid the price. Satan has been cast down and under his feet. All you have to do is recognize that you're with him. All you have to do is start thinking about Jesus. All you have to do is declare that you belong to God, that you are his, and he is the same, and you're going to be the same. You're going to be the same today, and you're going to be the same tomorrow, and you're going to be the same the next week. And when you make that decision to serve him with all of your heart, then he comes and he secures your eternity, that you will be the same with him in heaven. Hallelujah. Eternity is calling. Hallelujah. You have to quit looking at the chaos. You have to quit looking at the brokenness. You have to quit looking at the sides. You have to quit looking at the chaos. You have to quit focusing on what is broken. You have to quit listening to the voice of want. You have to quit listening to the voice that says you're hollow, that you're empty, that you're abandoned, that you're rejected, and you're vacated. No. Listen to the voice that says you are loved, that you have the ability to prosper in every way, that his goodness overwhelms your soul, that he goes before you and prepares a way for you, that he will never leave you. He is never going to forsake you. You are in this together with him. He has given you the victory. He has given you the keys that you need to have, the keys of the kingdom on this earth. That even when things are shaken, he is only shaking the things out of you that need to be dealt with. And when you surrender to his will, and when you surrender to him and you say, I don't care what it is on the inside of me that needs to be dealt with, I am willing to let you deal with it because I want to be holy as you are holy. And in your word, you said I could be. And as soon as you say that, oh my goodness, angels hear from heaven. God sends them to minister to you. He reinforces you by his presence. He begins to explode the word that you've hidden in your heart. It becomes more real than what is going on the outside. It becomes what is more real is happening on the inside. Your heart begins to explode and it begins to focus on God, and all of a sudden there begins to be praises coming out of your mouth. You begin to say, oh Lord God, how could I have ever thought anything else? How could I have ever agreed with anything else but you? You are so good. You are so great. You have forgiven so much. You have given me so much ability. You didn't have to include me in your will. You didn't have to include me in my inheritance. Oh, but God, you've given everything good, everything that pertains to my life, everything that pertains to God. It is mine and I am going to walk in it. I am predetermined that I am going to walk in it because you had your pursuit of me from the very beginning and you saw me on this moment of this day and you know all of my faults and you know everything I've ever done wrong. You know all of the thoughts that Satan has given me and yet you pursued me with your love until I surrender again and again. I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. And then Satan, he doesn't know what to do with that. He has heard that story before. He has looked at that. He has seen his destruction coming out of the mouth of a saved, born again, authentic believer who declares him and comes into alignment with him. And he is underneath your feet. Hallelujah. Our God not only reigns, but he is asking for you to let him reign in your life. Let him reign through what you say. Let him reign through your thoughts. Let him reign through your actions. Oh, God is persistent. He's persistent in his love. It says it doesn't even matter where we go. It doesn't matter what we go through. Oh, we cannot hide from the love of God. The love of God is persistent, and it is in pursuit of you. He is trying. He is getting you readied for everything that he has prepared for you. He's about ready to give you satisfaction like you never knew you could be satisfied. He is ready to give you the fullness of who he is so that you can operate in it all. But he is checking every heart right now. He is shaking everything that can be shaken, because when he shows up in all of his glory through you, he wants someone who is not going to stumble later. He wants somebody who will not deny him because they get caught up in pride. He wants somebody who will continue to follow him when they get everything that they've been asking him for and he gives it to you. What do you do with it? Do you glorify him through you, or do you become like a spawn of Satan? Do you just say, oh, look, I did this so good. I'm so good. Look, I'm better than everybody else. Look, they didn't listen. They didn't heed God. They didn't do it, but I did. Do you know that we can become so proud of our religious pride? And even the victories that we win. But God has come to give us the victory, and he has set forth principles in his word for us to live by. But he has set forth the victory for you to live in. Oh no, the victory is when you can give glory to the Lord every step of the way. When you love him all the way through your life. When you have made a decision that he is the number one factor, I can't live without him. I won't live without him. I want to become more like him day by day. I want my life to give you glory. I want my life to give you praise. I want other people to see you when I'm walking down the street. I want other people to be aware of who you are. I don't need any glory for myself. Oh, no, I glory in the Lord. Jesus is looking for an army. He's looking for an army of believers who will give him all the glory. They don't have to have any kind of label. They don't have to have some kind of position. They don't need to tell anybody about how cool they are or what position that they have or what they've done that is so cool. I mean, you can have a testimony. You're allowed to have a testimony as long as all the glory goes to God. Do you know that in the word testimony is the word test? Do you know that before you get a testimony, you better be tested by God and you better know your testimony will stand pure all the way to the end of time? You see, God, he did something more than create the world. He created it. He took care of the chaos. Then it says the Spirit moved upon the face of the water. The Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit is moving upon the face of the waters of our spirits, even in this time frame. The Spirit is moving. He's longing to move again. And out of your chaos, he is going to bring God's dominion. The Spirit moved. God spoke. When God spoke, he said, let there be light. And guess what happened? There was light. When God spoke, he said, let there be water. And guess what happened? There was water. When God spoke, he said, let there be creatures. And guess what? There were creatures. And then he did something else. He didn't just say, man be. Oh, he could have. He could have. He just created the whole universe. God is God. He could do anything he wanted. But instead, he scooped up and he created us. And you know what he put inside of us? Different than every other thing that he had created. A piece of him. He created us in his image. He created us in his likeness. He created us with pieces of everything that we would need to replicate him on the earth. He gave us love. He gave us kindness. He gave us compassion. He put all of the ingredients necessary that when people saw us, his creation, they would be in awe because no one can do this of their own accord. There had to be a difference that was put inside of us, and God said, I'm going to give you everything you need. And then he breathed life into them. And with it, he blessed them. You see, you're walking in a place where God wants you to be blessed. You don't have to fight for prosperity. You don't have to even fight to win against the enemy. If you know your God, if when he breathes on you, you take it in. If when he says, oh, this little thing right here needs to change, and you just go, I change right now. I'm not going to fight against you. I'm not going to kick against the pricks. I am going to acknowledge you as Jesus, Lord and Savior. I'm going to be like you created me to be. I'm going to be not only blessed, but I'm going to be a blessing. That's the army that God is raising up right now. These are the people of God. These are the authentic ones. These are the ones that don't care what anybody else thinks. They don't care if it costs them their own life. I said, they don't care if it costs them their own life. Because it will. It'll cost your life living it the way that God intended for you to live it. And that in itself is a sacrifice. But if you were in a place where they said, and it will come to that, don't. The Bible says so. Renounce God or die. Renounce Jesus Christ or die. How secure are you in what your answer would be? Well, what if they're going to torture you before they kill you? How secure are you in what your answer would be? You know, there are Christians tortured all over the world, even now as I speak. And the enemy thinks he's winning, except for he's not. Because there are people that have already predetermined that no matter what he does, I will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I consider you guys a part of my house. God's persistence has provided us a remedy. God's love is one of the great truths of the Bible. You have to be so aware of it that the all-knowing, the universe creating, the eternal God, the one that's greater than all, that he loves you. He's a personal God. The truth of his love should hit you like a tidal wave every day. You should be bowled over in his presence. Oh, man. The enemy wants to distract you because those moments in time are the moments that secure you. I call them indelible ink moments. Moments when God shows up and he actually convinces me that everything will be okay. He convinces me that he loves me. That he is in charge, and that he loves everybody else, and he's going to show me how to love them too. Our God is a good God. Our God is relentless in his pursuit of showing you his love. Oh, even now, I know Satan's working. I know he's trying to get people to do things that are just... maybe they're not even ugly. Maybe they're not even really vile. Maybe they're just stupid. Anybody ever done anything stupid that you wish you wouldn't have done? Oh, yeah, me too. I mean, one of the most horrifying moments of my life was when I recognized that I didn't stick up for somebody that was being bullied. I hate that thought. I hate that thought. But it's covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, when we're trying to live for Jesus, Jesus will let us know his love. He will give us what is needed for us to love him correctly. He wants you to be a light. He wants you to be salt. We should be so salty that people are so thirsty for the Spirit of God. They're so thirsty for what we have. You know, we can't bully people into loving God. We're not supposed to tell people, well, you're evil and you're ugly and you did this and you did that. And that's what's going on in the world. Everybody's got a finger to point. Well, you know the story of when you have one finger pointing out, you got four pointing back at you. When are we going to stand before the Lord and say, oh, Lord, make me respond like you would have me to respond. Show me how to love the way you want me to love. Whatever voice you release is empowering God or it's empowering the enemy. Just think about the power of your voice. Just think about the power of your attitude. Say, well, you know, you don't know what I'm going through. I probably might. I've had a few things happen in my life that I had to push through. How many of you had something you had to push through in your life? How many of you found out God was faithful? Yeah. Okay. Well, Satan has been called out today. And I call the church back into true Christianity. I'm calling the church back into true Christianity. I call the church back out of frustration into invitation. He's inviting us. He's inviting us to come. He's inviting us because he loves us so much. He doesn't want us to live an ineffective life, but he wants his strength to be intertwined with us, because his standards intertwine with your persistence. You hear me? His standards will just come with your persistence to pursue him. It's not hard to be like God. Everybody's on their way to eternity, but we got to live like we love him every day. Okay, the victory has already been won through Jesus. I'm going to read you Romans 8:35 in the Passion Translation. We can be discouraged with life. We can wonder if it's all worthwhile. But this is exactly what we need to do. If we're going to be reminded of being persistent, we have to know the persistence of God's love for us. Who could ever separate us from the endless love of God's anointed one? Absolutely no one. For nothing in the universe has the power to diminish his love towards us. Troubles, pressures, and problems are unable to come between us and heaven's love. Well, what about persecutions, deprivations, dangers, and death threats? Nope. They are all impotent to hinder omnipotent love. Hallelujah. Even though it is written all day long, we face death threats. For your sake, God, we are considered to be nothing more than sheep to be slaughtered. Yet in the midst of all of these things, right in the midst of the enemy's tactics, we triumph over them all. For God has made us to be more than conquerors, and his demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So now how are we supposed to live? I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power that has the power to separate me from God's love, make it personal. I am convinced that his love will triumph over death. I am convinced that life's troubles, that fallen angels and dark rulers in the heavens, there is nothing in our present, there is nothing in our future circumstances that could ever weaken his love. And there is no power above us or beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance me, that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, his love is coming after you. His love is persistent. He's never stopping. There is no power that can separate us from God's love. There is no pressure that can separate you from God's love. There's no trouble that can separate you from God's love. We are secured by our Creator. We are secured in his love. We are secured by his promises. We are secured by his actions. He is scooping you up in his hands right now, and he is wanting to tell you, I love 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 you, until you actually believe it. And as it seeps into your soul, and as it changes your mind about God, it changes your mind about everyone else, and suddenly you become a lover and not a hater. Serious. It's serious love that has taken us over. It's serious love. It was so serious to God that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but that they would have everlasting life. You don't need to perish now, and you don't need to perish later. You can go forward in God. You can know his love. You can be as successful as you want to be. You can be as loved as you want to be. You can be as powerful as he promised you could be. But there needs to be the moment that you make a decision that you will never forget him. You will never forsake him. you will never leave your post. Bow your heads. So, Father, we come today, Lord, wow. I thank you for the way you love us. I thank you that you are persistent in your pursuit. And, Lord, we come honestly and openly before you. We admit that there is weaknesses that show up sometimes. Sometimes we choose wrong. Sometimes we have been deceived. But Lord, I thank you for today. It is a new day. Every morning is fresh and new with grace and mercy. I thank you, Lord, that you have come to love on us. You have come to convince us that we are so valued that you gave the hardest thing you could to make the difference for us. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit right now begins to convict every person that needs to have an adjustment by your Spirit. Lord, put your finger on everything that needs to be changed. Go ahead and tell them the truth. Open up their ears. Unclog them from the lies of the enemy. And speak your love, your unconditional love into them. Now just concentrate on him. Just open yourself up to receive his love because he's here today to love on you. See, if you don't take these moments, you won't have that indelible ink moment that gives you the ability to make that determination. But right here, right now, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Still calling, come unto me, you that are heavy laden. His yoke is easy and his yoke is light. He wants to take all that heavy burden away from you, all of that not being able to live up to something. He wants to demolish that. That's a lie of the enemy. All you have to live up to is the love of God. To receive it, to become a part of it. Oh, you'll display it. Because when you embrace him, he comes and he lives and he makes himself known to you. And then love ekes out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You have to be honest with him. You got to be honest with him about your sin. You got to be transparent before God. Do you think he doesn't know what you're doing? How big is our God? How vast is he? He knows everything that concerns you. He knows the trickery of the enemy. He even knows the lies he's telling you. He knows everything about your life. And yet he loves you. But you have to be honest with yourself. There needs to be come to Jesus moments. There needs to be an honesty before him. He's coming for a bride. He's coming for somebody who loves him to the point that they don't want any spots or wrinkles. And he's looking for you. He's in pursuit of you, and he will persist in his pursuit until the day that he returns. But the choice is yours. How will you respond to such an unbelievable, unconditional love? You can insist upon your own way, but please don't. Please don't.
want to ask you if there's anything inside of you that God is dealing with you with. I just want you to raise your hand. You don't have to tell me what it is. Just raise your hand. Is God dealing with you? Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty before the Lord. Thank you for your honesty before the Lord. Now see, He sees. He knows. And He's offering you the remedy right now. He's offering His love to take the place of your battle, of your sins. He just wants to come and be your Lord. So we're going to say this prayer. But we're not going to say a prayer to say a prayer. We're going to say a prayer from our heart that is going to actually bring a change in our life. And for all that didn't raise their hand, good for you. But you have allowed the Lord permission to change you from the inside out already. And that daily you are in pursuit of Him. Let's be those people. So, Father, we come in the name of Jesus. And we will not despise His sacrifice with rebellion or disobedience. But instead, we open up our heart to receive Your unconditional love through Jesus. Father, You gave His very life so that He could take my sins. And Jesus, You're so wonderful. You left all of the comforts of glory. You loved being there with Your Father. You came to this earth to walk among men, to be the Son of Man, so that You could endure every temptation that we ever face. Every temptation. So that You could win against every sin tactic of the enemy. Jesus, You're so good. You took every sin, even mine, upon that cross. You paid the ultimate sacrifice of laying down Your life when You had nothing. No sin was Your own. But You held all of our sins, past, present, and future. And in that moment, God was satisfied. And Satan was defeated. And then You took keys of death, hell, and the grave. And you ushered in a brand new season of the living God being real inside a living church. You birthed us to be able to be like You, to look like You, to talk like You, to walk like You, to bring forth miracles, signs, and wonders, and all that is needed for humanity. Lord, You're counting on us. You're counting on me. So I ask You, Lord, on a personal level, forgive me of every sin, even if it's just doubt. Forgive me. Forgive me of all of the things that I know I have failed You at. Forgive me for siding with evil and not calling it evil. Come into my life and change it radically. I'm asking for a radical change, Lord. I want to portray You on the earth. I want to betray Satan's devices. Lord, I want to be like You. I want to destroy the works of the devil. So, Lord, cleanse me from all sin. Lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And I will live for you, and I will give you all the glory. In Jesus' name. That's the transference. That's how you do it. You transfer from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. It's just what he has given us the ability to do. His love transports us, and he changes us from the inside out. I pray that you will continually, always be willing to let him examine your heart day by day. You know, God is persistent in his love for you. Be consistent in your pursuit to be holy as he is holy.